Observer for Wednesday, July 27th, 2005. Got a few basic items on the agenda. Staff is working the papers as hard as they can, but we want to keep up with them. The first item on our work session agenda is to move several bills back out of budget to the President's desk for a referral to the Joint Ways and Means Committee. I move Senate bills 5633, 5634, and 5635 be returned to the President's desk for referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion? Any objection?
Such a sense of excitement.
Portends good things. Seeing none, so ordered. First bill, House Bill 5148A, Department of Human Services. Senator Carter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 5148 is the budget bill for the Department of Human Services. The budget agreement for the agency is $2.54 billion general fund and $9.8 billion total funds. The general fund budget is $108.7 million higher, about 4.5% more than the governor's recommended budget. It is $16 million general fund more than the budget the Senate originally approved in Senate Bill 5600. The agreed-upon budget includes $11.7 million general fund to restore Oregon Health Plan dental services, $1.1 million for durable medical equipment and emergency ambulance cost of living adjustments, $300,000 to restore funding for the Children's Emergency Medical Services System and the Juvenile Diabetes Data Phase Project, $26.9 million general fund to restore the governor's reductions for assisted living facilities, adult foster homes, and adult relative foster care, $12 million general fund to restore Oregon Project Independence, $2 million general fund to improve reimbursement for local area agencies on aging, and $1.1 million general fund for a 0.6 per hour wage increase for developmental disability group home providers. The budget includes the House's 3% reduction in services and supplies and capital outlay line items, totaling $4 million general fund across the agency. The budget agreement makes a further $3.9 million general fund reduction in the cost of living adjustment for agency clients, providers, and operations. This budget does not fully restore the program reductions made over the past few years. It will be a challenge for the agency to meet the needs of poor and vulnerable Oregonians within these resources. However, the agreed-upon budget provides critical funding for priority health care and senior services above the level in both the governor's budget and the earlier Senate Bill 5600 budget. I recommend House Bill 5148A be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion? Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The developmental disabilities essentially cost of living adjustment is 6 cents per hour.
It's actually a wage increase. It's not a cost of living.
Right.
Then I guess my next part of the question is if someone could address the cost of living adjustments for not only developmental disabilities but other private providers and what we're doing in this budget to
the governor has that. Proposed a delay of 12 months. We proposed 18. We ended up in between those two.
And in the context, and I'm not begging to argue this issue, but I raise it as a policy.
Sorry.
Issue.
Again, I got it wrong. John.
Mr. Chair and Senator Morris, the governor's budget proposed a six-month delay in cost of living adjustments, so there was no adjustment in the governor's budget until January of 2006. This budget delays further for another 3 months, so there is a cost of living adjustment on April 1st of 2006 of 1.5%, and another one on July 1st of 2007 for 1.9%.
Mr. Chair, I didn't hear.
Senator Morris, follow up first.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a very grave concern about undermining the ability of our provider community and those entities to continue to provide service when we don't make adjustments in their labor compensation appropriately.
That's true.
Particularly in the context of reserving $130 million for state employees with the 2 plus 2 plus 4.75, I think it was, which is bringing them back whole for the freeze, plus additional cost of living and adjustment. But yet we defer those providers that are so important to us. I mean, there are thousands of people out there. And say you have nothing at the table, and we, you know, we didn't provide adjustments, obviously, in the freeze period of the last biennium, and then to push it off for almost another biennium, I just have some very grave concerns about the impact it will have on the ability of those organizations to continue to provide the services that we expect when we have essentially ignored their needs. I'm going to vote for this bill, but I would hope that in these discussions as we move through the end of this that there's some way to find some accommodations for those needs. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Carter, Kerry, then we'll go to Johnson, Wardley, and Reiner.
Senator Morse, because it was a concern of all of ours in terms of this issue. And we did give COLAs to everybody, and you're right in terms of those employees that are state employees versus those that are not in terms of the nonprofits. The complication of that is that you have contractual arrangements, and so you have to work through the legal, you know, the legal framework of all of that. And, you know, if we had had more dollars, there was never a question about granting increases to COLAs for those persons who are not state employees. We really would like to have done it. We just didn't have enough money to do that, though. And we have no control over the state employee piece because that's a legal arrangement between the state and the public employees.
Senator Johnson?
Two things. I didn't hear what you said, John, the two dates. The 1.5 COLA, I just didn't hear you.
Okay. Mr. Chair and Senator Johnson, this budget in 5548 does have a cost of living adjustment for most providers starting on April 1st of 2006 of 1.5%. It has an additional cost of living adjustment on July 1st of 2006 of 1.9%.
Thank you very much. And just as a comment, Mr. Chair, I think that our colleague from Albany has raised some very important points. I think the response was very adequately addressed by Senator Carter, but I hope it's something that we continue to work on. I share their concerns.
Let's see, Senator Gordley, and Senator Winters, and Senator Bates.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I also share the concern that has been raised by Senator Morse. And I have some additional concerns. Thinking about those who are the poorest of the poor and those who are most vulnerable, concerned that we are not going to be providing general assistance or emergency assistance, again, to the poorest of the poor, the most vulnerable. And I just think that is something to grieve about, to say the least about it. I am also concerned or want to seek a clarification about what is happening with the funding around domestic violence and sexual assault victims. Is this a reduction in funding or a elimination of funding? I'm trying to understand the shift that occurred the criminal fines and assessment account to general funds and the impact on the program itself.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gordley, in both the House and the Senate budget, the action was to reverse the governor's shift of funding from criminal fines and assessment account money to general fund to restore it back to criminal fines and assessment account money. So that's the piece that was done in House Bill 5148. There was prior to that fund shift, however, in development of the governor's budget, before the fund shift was done, there was a 10% reduction in the funding for the sexual assault and domestic violence grants that go out to providers or shelters, and that was not restored in either the House or the Senate budget or in the agreed-upon budget.
Thank you for the clarification. Again, I just want to return to my other statement about the poorest of the poor and how this budget is inadequate when we look at what those needs are around our state. I'm reminded of an article I read just today that says 41% of Oregon's children live in poverty. Mm-hmm. 41% of our children live in poverty. I'm also thinking about the budget that we're crafting, all the budgets, but particularly this one, which also stands as a moral document. It is a statement about what we value and how we prioritize what we value. And the amount of the cut to general assistance and to emergency assistance is what in dollars and cents?
For general assistance, the governor's budget reduced, I want to say, about $7 million or so. However, the add back to regain general assistance is about, we believe, $3.5 million general fund. At this point.
And emergency assistance?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gorley, there was not a cut per se to emergency assistance in the 05-07 budget period because that was eliminated during the 01-03 budget and completely phased out over 03-05. So there are several million dollars there that were there previously that aren't there now, but it wasn't a cut per se in the 05-07 period.
And again, Mr. Chairman, I so appreciate that this budget was worked and reworked and worked and reworked. And, I'm commenting now on the work of the folks who sat on the committee and had to look at all of these choices, these terrible choices. But there is inadequacy here, and I think we need to speak that truth. And the inadequacy goes to the inadequacy in our revenue system. We're only spending that which is available. We don't have enough available because we don't have enough revenue. And that goes to the need for tax reform and restructuring. You've heard the speech before. But again, when we leave the vulnerable behind in our budget making, then that's unacceptable. It's just unacceptable to me.
Very good. Good comments. Senator Johnson, or Senator Winter, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do share the concerns that have been expressed by the good senator from Albany and by Senator Gordley. The COLA issue caused great concern, and if there's any way that we can look at this in the interim through e-board, we should, because when you look over time, if my calculations are correct, this would push out giving COLAs to them 5 years plus, so maybe close to 6 years. Is that not right, Mr. Britton? Because we did not give them COLAs last session nor the previous session. And so our partners who are providing, our private nonprofit partners who are providing services to us have gone without the cost of living increase for some time. In addition to that, I know that they struggle with the issue of high staff turnover rates. And that's directly tied to the issue of the wage levels that exist within this particular workforce group. So I think we do need to take some, it's my hope I'm going to vote for this package. But if there's any way possible, Mr. Chair, that we can further look at this, it would, I think, certainly help given those two factors. You've got a high wage turnover, high staffing turnover rate, in this industry, and you plus the issue of pushing the coal out to where they have not received a cost of living increase for several years.
Mm-hmm. Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I certainly endorse everything that's been said to this point. The negotiating teams on both sides had nothing but one Sophie's choice after another. Once the die was cast at 12-3-9-3, we knew hard decisions had to be made. Mm-hmm. I believe we're facing not only what Senator Gorley has talked about, a lack of revenue, but even now when we have, I think in some areas, more revenue than we expected and some sufficiency in revenues, we've not been able to access some of that because of decisions were made early in session, which, frankly, had to be made. We're going to have a very large ending balance in comparison to previous bienniums at a time when we think the economy is improving. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see some of that go into some of these programs, but we've made an agreement which we have to stay with. When I look at the uninsured children in the state, which could have been resolved with a cigarette tax, would have brought us up to level of California and Washington. When I think of the OHP standard population being at the low level that it is, when I think about preschool children and not being properly taken care of because we can't fund it, those are extreme problems to me. But having said that, this budget needs to be supported. It's one that I think you've done a good job on the conditions that prevailed. We have made progress in this area in the past. Home health care workers used to have a problem, and we're starting to resolve that now through the new program we have for them. And I encourage the advocates for this group to make those kind of changes also. A high turnover rate of 60 or 70% per year is not going to be acceptable in the long run. You spend more time retraining and training people than you can't retain them long enough to have some expertise, take care of people who really need help in their lives. I would hope that the E-Board will continue to look at this as well as the next legislative assembly and see if we can find a way to stabilize this workforce through higher wages and better benefits. Thank you.
Senator Westland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Echoing some of Senator Bates's comments, when we are faced with shortfalls in revenue to fund some of these programs that are desperately in need of revenue, I think it's important that we maximize revenue. And as I look through the budget narrative, I don't see a reference to a budget note that has accepted by, I believe, both. Well, I know it's been accepted by the good co-chair to my immediate right, and I believe it's been accepted by Representative Scott. It deals with moving more people into managed care, which unquestionably provides a better level of service and truly practices the foundation of the Oregon Health Plan, which is providing primary preventative, primary preventative health care. I think we need to look closely at that budget note. I know this was printed prior to that making the rounds, so I look forward to that budget note being included in this budget, which was, as Senator Bates says, filled with Sophie's choices, and on aggregate is an excellent piece of work, which I compliment all the leadership and the negotiators on.
Thank you. Senator Carter.
Mr. Chairman, I want to say I appreciate all the comments from our colleagues made here today. And I just want to remind all of us how important it is that in the early part of the session when we were talking about trying to raise revenue, how we could not get enough people to support a revenue package. And so it is important to know that there were some things we could have done early on that people did not have the will to do. And so we now have to accept Sophie's choices, because when we had the chance to do it, we couldn't find enough people with the will to do it. So I appreciate your comments and look forward to maybe the next time around us realizing that the most vulnerable of our population, of our society, are still suffering and have been for the last 10 years since we've not been able to raise the revenue to take care of programs like emergency services and general assistance. I ask your approval of 5148.
Very good. Good discussion, good comments. Hopefully on the floor we'll talk about some of the very, very good things we did in this budget compared to December when we came in the bill. Senator Nelson, is an objection. Others? Senator Gordon. Very good. CQ. Seeing none others? Passes. House Bill 5158A, Department of Agriculture. Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The agreed-upon budget of the Department of Agriculture totals 75.5 million 363 FTE. The budget consists of 13.1 million general fund, 11.3 million Measure 66 lottery funds, 46 million other funds, and 5.2 million federal funds. The proposed amendments would modify the House budget for the department by adding 440,000 general fund to fund the Pesticide Analytical Response Center and a consumer education program for urban users of pesticides. Funding for the pesticide use reporting system will be included in Senate Bill 290, which specifies the geographic areas of use reporting. The budget was also modified by adding 358,000 federal funds for a grant to acquire land in Jacksonville to protect an endangered plant community, Gentner's fritillary. The agreed-upon budget differs from the Senate version passed by the Senate on June 30th in the following ways. Includes 3% general fund reduction in services and supplies, does not remove funding for predator control, adds 1.5 million general fund to the safety food program that was included in the Senate budget plan, and does not include funding for PORS. This is included in another bill. I recommend House Bill 5158 be amended and do pass as amended.
Thank you, sir. Discussion. Objections. Seeing none, is it ordered? House Bill 5174A, the methamphetamine budget package. Senator Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It is with great pleasure that I present House Bill 5174. It is one of the funding bills for the legislature's comprehensive meth package designed to provide a combined prevention, treatment, and punishment approach to this significant problem. This bill is a companion of House Bill 2485, which makes a number of policy changes relating to meth, which has passed the House State and Federal Affairs Committee. Senate Bills 907 and 5630 include other components of the legislature's meth package, and these two bills have already passed the Senate. House Bill 5174 provides $2.5 million general fund as a special purpose appropriation to the Emergency Board for the creation of new drug courts or expansion of existing drug courts. The Criminal Justice Commission must first report to the interim judiciary committees on the development of the grant program and progress in developing performance measures before requesting the $2.5 million from the Emergency Board. Funding is also provided for a position at the Commission to develop, operate, and evaluate the grant program. This bill provides $942,679 general fund to continue four existing drug courts which have lost their federal funding. Funding is also appropriated to the Department of Agriculture for the certification and other activities relating to non-toxic additives to ammonias to prevent this precursor from being used for manufacturing meth. Finally, $88,143 general fund is provided to the state police to meet the expected increase in the demand for forensic lab work resulting from House Bill 2485 and Senate Bill 907. A budget note was included requiring the development of performance measures for the drug court grant program. I recommend House Bill 5174 as amended be reported out to pass.
Very good. Discussion. Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill plus the companion bill funding totals what amount that we're setting aside for meth funding? Do you recall
that? Well, it's put in several different ways. Mr. Wilson, you want to come up? It's not. There's a $5.1 million quote package, and there's funding in OSP and other sources.
But it's the 5.1 total?
No, Mayor. No. Mr. Chair, Senator Morris, there was a total $7.1 million in these two bills between 5174 and Senate Bill 5630.
Thank you.
Senator Johnson.
I know that this is not part of the policy package that we're discussing today in this bill, but I want to commend the excellent work that went into developing all of these comprehensive approaches. I do, however, continue to hear concerns from constituents with respect to the prescription aspect of the drugs and the inaccessibility of them absent a prescription. That may be something that we end up revisiting again. I understand completely if you want to stop the supply line, you cut it off where it is. But it continues to raise concerns among constituents, and I think it's something we'll have to monitor as this suite of bills moves forward.
Further, Senator Bates.
I want to make the same comment. Maybe you know I was not in in a tropical paradise the last 2 days, despite what was reported on the floor about me. I didn't have coverage for my practice. I had to go home and take care of things. Yeah. And actually, this was a point of discussion with several patients and several physicians. And I have not heard a single patient tell me that they felt that this rose to a level, or any physician that rose to a level, they were concerned. There are other choices for this. I think the federal government is making a very bad error in trying to preempt this. We need to get pseudoephedrine under control. We know it won't stop the epidemic, but it will slow down the use of manufacture of this interstate. It won't completely stop unless other states join us, obviously, also. This is not a drug that's going to save lives. It's a drug that makes people feel more comfortable. And there are other choices available to them, which when they switch to, will find that it's effective enough for them that can get by. For those rare people who need an actual prescription of this, they can either call their physician or be seen. I know it's a little bit of an imposition, but it's something that can be done. The impact of methamphetamine in our communities is so huge that the discussion of making this, from my point of view, of making this as a physician, making this a prescription item, is just null and void. There's absolutely no reason not to do this. And I think people who oppose it are just not clear on what's going on.
Maybe you'd like to come up and answer my emails.
I'd be glad to. I'd go out there and give you a town hall on it. I'd be glad to.
Senator Gorsuch.
Thank you. Just following up on Senator Bates' comments, the Criminal Justice Commission prepared a list of alternatives to pseudoephedrine, and my office has made that available, I think, online to all of you. So you have a way of responding to your constituents who are concerned about this issue. There are some alternatives.
Just as a final comment, if I could.
Sure, Senator Bates.
We are facing a firestorm right now concerning medical marijuana, a drug which, properly used on a prescription basis, really gives relief to patients, and the federal government is putting pressure on us to stop doing that. At the same time, they're making pseudoephedrine more available to the public, or keeping it available to the public, when we know what's going on. It makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Very good. Further discussion? Objections? Seeing none, so order.
You said enough yesterday.
Oh, we're not.
Do you want to object?
Yeah, I want one objection, please. The guy in the blue
Senator
suit with the blue tie.
Well, reopen that. We're Senator Westland. Unanimous consent, yes, sure. Okay, votes no.
And votes no. And also, Mr. Chair, I'd beg permission after my no vote to vote on House Bill 5158, the Department of Agriculture. It will not change it.
No objections. How do you vote, sir?
I vote aye.
Thank you,
was he here?
He was off on an island fishing.
I'd also like the record to show that Senator Bates does not believe his hometown is a paradise.